The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Mick Norton to look ahead to the best of the action coming up on Monday. We're going to preview three races from Kempton Park. There's also action at Lingfield and Musselburgh to look forward to on Monday. Just the one jumps meeting. But yeah, we're going to preview some action on the polytrack from Kempton Park. We'll get to that in just a moment. But in the meantime, hello Mick Norton, how are you?
Yeah, it's good, thank you, Alex.
Good to hear. Bit of a shame there's only the one jumper tomorrow, isn't there?
15 flat races, middle of December. I just don't get it. And no. Two tracks only, 30 miles apart? Mm. I just do not get it, Alex.
Who both could hold jumps meetings, theoretically.
Bizarre. Totally bizarre.
But nevertheless, there are winners to be found out there at Kempton.
Absolutely.
So we'll get there in just a moment. We'll just have a look back at Saturday's action, just briefly. Of course, the Tinkle Creek, the feature, went to Dodging Bullets from Somersby and Hinterland. I'll tell you what, Dodging Bullets, you know, there's a fair few people would have been lining up to have a go at him, if you like.
Yeah.
But you can't fault him yesterday. He was pretty seamless with his jumping and looked the best horse by some distance.
Yeah, amazing little horse, isn't he? I mean, he was one of the better juvenile hurdler for a bred by Frankie, of course, wasn't he?
Yeah. Just saying, that's a strange one, isn't it?
Yeah, and a fizzy character, like his breeder, apparently, who gets himself straight. And to be fair to him, he's done everything that they've asked of him. He's plied his trade at a fairly high level and thoroughly deserved that. Rather bizarre, I thought, with Grade 1 action going on, that the Racing Post, the trade newspaper, felt it fitting to front page their Sunday edition about who might link the Grand National next year as the most important thing in horse racing. Does that float your boat? Is that the most important thing that's going on in horse racing?
Could that be because it wasn't the strongest renewal of the Tingle Creek?
I think it possibly could, but isn't it all about the horses and stuff?
Possibly, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Are we getting a bit populist here?
Maybe.
Oh, dear.
I'm sure you'd stamp that down, wouldn't
Worrying about what Auntie Claire's going to do. Dear me. The Grand National would take care of itself if it didn't have an anchor man, wouldn't it?
Shall we do it?
If it happened 364 days of the year, racing, or whatever it is, racing gets away without that. Mm. It's just bizarre. I just don't get it. Maybe it's just me.
No, that's a fair point. So we saw Dodging Bullets win the Tingle Creek.
Yeah.
Vibrato Valtat landed the Henry VIII Novices Chase.
I think that was a more... I certainly think we've now got a viable alternative to Willie Mullins, who's maybe not going to have it all his own way, because this horse...
is that in the Arkle?
Yes. Mm. It's a proper two-miler. I mean, I can't really... he's going to have to keep on going forward. But, I mean, did everything right, little pro... And
do you not think his attitude? I know he was good yesterday.
Yeah.
You not think that the fact that he needs to be covered up until late on generally is going to be an issue when it comes to the massive races? I mean, you can almost get away with it in a four-runner race.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but I think if they keep Noel on him, I think, you know, brilliant at riding that sort of race.
Do you think they will?
I would think they might. I mean, they keep Noel on Silver Niarco Conti because they know he doesn't go for anybody else, don't they? So
that's fair.
So why not on him?
Because I think Sam Twist Navies was critical himself of the ride that he gave Roberto Valtat last time at Cheltenham.
Yeah.
Obviously, Nolfili getting on well with him. And when you've got a horse that is quirky and you do find a jockey that,
absolutely,
that clicks with him, it makes sense,
absolutely,
doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's no, it's not a slur on the on the jockey he doesn't get on with.
No.
You know, I mean, we've seen it time and time again, haven't we?
Mm.
Look at the tune that, you know, Sam Willie Coyne gets out of some of his horses. They're all saying, oh, well, you know, he'd go better for Geraghty. Who knows?
Well, if you go back to, say, Sam Thomas with Denman,
yeah,
you know, then you put AP on Denman and it just doesn't quite click.
Didn't work.
It?
No.
I mean, you look at that now and you'd think that was folly. But a nice little segue from you there, Mick, into Sam Willie Coyne, because that leads us very nicely on to the races over the National Fences at Aintree. We had the Beecher Chase and the Grand Sefton. Oscar Time landed the Beecher at 25-1 from Mendip Express, St. R, Alfie Spinner and Chance de Roy. We had the five places here at William Hill, so if you manage to back the Hobbs charge, you'll be collecting your each-way money. And
it wasn't a bad price for ours to be placed in two nationals, is it?
No, exactly. It's just, Sam Willie Coyne, though, for all that people say he rides the fences so well, he's so good round there, there's a reason for that, and it's consistent with every ride he gives them. And they're always in the box seat in the sort of top five or six. Gets them into a nice rhythm.
Yeah.
Doesn't ask them to pick up too much.
That's the most important thing, getting into a rhythm around there.
But it's so hard to make ground up. We've seen that before. And we saw it again with Mendip Express, who was way out the back.
Yeah.
Managed to, you know, travel nicely through beaten horses and, but eventually couldn't quite pick up. And
exactly,
all Sam Willie Coyne does is he just keeps it uncomplicated.
Keeps it simple. He's had 29 rides around Aintree, 5 wins, 7 places, and 19 completions.
Look at that. That's almost half of his mounts have won or placed. And you're looking at horses that are in these kind of races. They'll be going off double-figure prices.
Yeah, and if you look, say, just not to pick him out of the crowd and beat him over the head with it, but look at Richard Johnson's record round entry and compare it to Sam's.
Mm.
It's something to be proud of, I think. I think it's great.
And as for Oscar Time, grand day for an older horse.
Yeah, he's not going back for the National next year. He's going to be 14. He doesn't stay that far anyway. And but that was his Grand National, wasn't it, yesterday and on Saturday, and fair play to him. I thought it was a brilliant effort. And, of course, Sam wouldn't leave the stage, would he? He finished second in the Sefton on Cedra Bleu. Nearly pulled it off again, didn't he?
On professional yak, Cedra Bleu.
Absolutely.
I think it's fair to say.
Yeah.
I must confess, Mick, I did have a small bet on Cedra Bleu, and despite the fact that he travelled like the winner, at no stage was I overly optimistic.
Well, he had a hood on, added to all his other aids, the kitchen sink, etc.
Yeah.
And he sort of had its effect, but as usual, he found zilch off the bridle.
Jumped well, travelled well, but
as you say,
nothing off the bridle.
He was always in the right place in the race as well to maximise his opportunity to win it.
And Pullmaster game from the front under Tom Scudamore, and I actually backed that horse in the race last year and didn't really show much of an aptitude for the fences, but a year older, a year wiser, and with the experience, looked like he was relishing the larger obstacles.
Yeah, he seems to have learnt plenty from his experience there, which didn't look a happy one last year.
Not at all.
But they weren't frightened to take him back, which was probably significant.
Very true. And, of course, condolences to connections of Oscar Whiskey.
Terrible.
A grand servant and a fantastic horse. So.
And Balbriggan, of course, who we saw bolt up the week before in Ireland.
Absolutely.
And a week later he's lost his life. Just shows you the perils of the game, doesn't it?
Very true. We're going to move on to the action then at Kempton Park on Monday. We're going to look at three races, the 410, the 440 and the 510. And we'll kick off with the 410. It is a Division 1 of a handicap over 6 furlongs, a Class 4 event. 11 runners going to post here, Mick. A few of them arrive here in decent enough form. A few of them are completely and utterly out of form.
Yeah, they're the ones you worry about, don't you?
Yeah, it's quite a mix in this race.
Yeah, it is Class 4, so we haven't got quite the Class 6 perils of horses suddenly finding their form. And I think we'll stick with the more obvious one, so it wouldn't be the biggest surprise if they won. Strategic Force heads the weights. We haven't seen him for a while, but that's not a problem for him because he can win fresh. And he broke his maiden here in April, and still comparatively lightly raced. The stable are going well. He's yet to win a handicap, but he has gone close off of this mark on the turf. And I think this does look a good opportunity in a Crompress handicap. I think his main danger will be one of the other three horses, which I'll touch on in a moment. But he's certainly a player, strategic force with Kirby on board for the informer Clive Cox.
Okay, what about Multitask, a horse that does like the sort of surface? And I remember around this time last year, our speed figure friends, if you like, the likes of Andy Holding and Ross Briley, getting rather excited about some of his performances.
Yeah, he's up from class five, Alex, which would be a slight concern. But on the plus side, he's back in trip after running over seven at Kempton the last time he was here when he won. He went to Lingfield last time over this trip, only beaten half a length, but it was a good effort, and he's back over six here. He ran well back in trip at Lingfield last time, as I said, in class five, and he is a winner here over seven furlongs as well. He just might prove a bit vulnerable to the three-year-olds. He's a plus three than his last win, £3 higher than his last win. Mm. So he's going to have to do it in class four.
It's going to have to be a career best, isn't it?
Yeah, he's going to have to do it in class four off a career high mark against a couple of lurking, improving three-year-olds. And the other one, the other three-year-old that I'm interested in is Zaman Awal, a daughter of Dubawi, trained by James Fanshawe. Tom Quigley taking the ride. And that was a good effort last time. I know she was a beaten favourite, but it was still a good effort when she was only a neck second to Bint Dandy. Could have done without going up £4 for that effort. But she's still only lightly raced. She's only had the five starts. Five on the all-weather. She had one run on the turf, just the one run on the turf. And she does look as though she's got races off of this mark in her. She's the biggest danger, I think, to strategic fourth. I think a repeat of that Wolverhampton run, although it was in class five, don't forget, and, you know, she's up a grade off a higher mark, so it's no given. I'd be tempted, because I just get a feeling that the market might revolve around her, and it might push strategic force out to a price, especially that absence, and that might make him value, because he's got as big a chance on the book as her, if not a better one.
Okay.
And I think he could represent better value. So I think it's between the two, and I think the value lies with strategic force.
Okay. Strategic force.
But I might be wrong.
It's very much a look at the market,
yes,
and see where the value does
lie. See where the value is, because the race does revolve around those two.
Okay, so strategic force just edging it in the 410. Next up, the 440. Division 2 of the same handicap over 6 furlong, the class 4 event. Again, 11 runners going to post, and a bit of a different feel to this one, Mick, in that we've got a lot of horses coming here in really, really quite good form, but as a result, stepping up in grade.
Yeah, I think we'll start, though, with the recent winner, Stellata, who recorded some really tasty speed figures the other day, and unlikely that the penalty that she's picked up would have stopped her that day, and I think she's going to, you know, take all the beating again from her workable draw. It did look a big step forward, and you know, she beat 11 rivals in some style. She recorded a set of very good speed figures, and deservedly getting ahead in front. I mean, she'd been unlucky not to have, that was her first win, and she was very unlucky not to have won prior to that. You know, she'd run some very solid races in defeat, and I think this filly, now she's got her nose in front, she's probably going to go on. The penalty's unlikely to stop her if she turns up in the same form, and I think she's very much the one to beat.
Okay. Main dangers?
The four-year-old Soaring Spirits is interesting in the sense that it seemed to take an age for the penny to drop that he didn't want as far as they'd been running him over, mm-hmm. and he improved dramatically for his first run at six furlongs last time. That was at Lingfield 3 weeks ago. And the fact, you know, remains that he's open to any amount of improvement as a sprinter. He's been running a mile and plus, this horse, and back to six, and he was a revelation. Mm. So he could well be the dark horse of the race with more to come at as a sprinter. And the other one of interest is Invincible Ridge, who was trained in Ireland until three outings ago, joined Eric Olsen. He's done well all three starts for his new yard. First time up, he won a Stella. Then he was second in a handicap, then won a handicap. And he's up in grade from class... it was class four, if I'm not mistaken. He's up into... class five, I should say, into class four, from a £5 higher mark. He did have decent form in Ireland off similar marks to this. So I don't think the mark's beyond him. The company might be. Mm. I don't think the mark is. But I'm going to stay with the Stellata. Very visually impressive last time. The £6 extra wouldn't have stopped her that day, and I don't think it'll stop her this day.
Okay, Stellata the pick in the 4:40. The final race that we're going to look at is the 5:10 from Kempton. A mile and three furlongs the trip for this one. Another Class 4 event. 10 runners going to post here. Very interesting one at the top of the handicap here, Mick. A horse that I'd imagine you'll have seen going around York a couple of times.
Absolutely.
Willie Wagtail for Ed Walker has been off the track for a while, made a comeback last time when not friendless in the market, didn't really show much on that occasion, but if returning to anything like his form of a couple of years ago, surely this is his for the taking.
Absolutely. And I hope.
Big if, though, isn't it?
Well, I don't think it's that big an if, to be honest, okay. Alex. He has got a win here over the furlong further trip, 12 furlongs off a £2 higher mark, and he should be all the better for that run after 455 days off 19 days ago. And as you say, you know, he brings a touch of class into the race, doesn't he? And I'm hoping he's going to be the forgotten horse of the market. Unlikely, I know, but because I was hoping that they might be all over the Kamani's, you know, with Luke Morris on board down at the bottom of the handicap.
Yeah, that's past forgetting. A filly who's forgetting. Still a maiden and hasn't looked the easiest to win with, but nevertheless is unexposed.
Did appear to be getting the hang of things last time, finishing to some effect, and had shown improved form on the turf the run before that. So maybe she's now going forward. But as you say, you know, she's beginning a bit frustrating. But on the other hand, she's only had six careers, so there could be more to come. I was hoping that the market would get stuck into her and forget all about Willie, but I doubt it.
You've got others, the likes of Hedge End will probably be supported, given that Richard
didn't run
Hannon
too badly over this course and distance 18 days ago. 4th of 10, started at 20-1 that day, unlikely to start at 20-1 on Monday. You've got Glen 10, who has been a model of consistency. He's won five times from 18 starts this season. Last win at Brighton in October, and a good run last time at Wolverhampton. And coming back here will suit. He's got a 1-from-1 CD stats here. He's yet to win in the 70s, though, Alex. That's a bit of a steadier. But not to say he can't.
No.
But I'd like to have seen him do it before I would be backing him. No, I agree with you. I think Willie Wagtail is the class act of this, and I'm hoping he's all the better for that run 19 days ago back at a track we know he wins at.
Okay. Certainly the most interesting horse in the race there.
Yeah.
Willie Wagtail in the 5:10 at Kempton. Can you just spin us through your three picks for Monday afternoon?
Yeah,
at Kempton,
interesting Mick. Day's racing. Strategic Force is the pick in the 4:10 at Kempton, and Adam Kirby riding for his old ally Clive Cox. Stellata was visually impressive and was impressive on the clock when we saw a win a week ago, and she looks good in the 4:40 Division 2 of that 6 furlongs handicap. And in the mile and 3, the 5:10, Willie Wagtail should be all the better for his reappearance run 19 days ago, and I think he represents a different class to these.
Great stuff, Mick. Thanks very much for your time, and enjoy all of Monday's racing.
Okay, thanks, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.